Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now it's time for the Scores Bears postgame show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long snapping iron man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Got a little bit ugly. It's Mully and Patrick Manley here on the post game. I don't know, Patrick. I thought that was a touchdown, frankly, at the end of the game there, but I guess early in the fourth quarter, but it doesn't really matter. That, you know, we'll go over the numbers, we'll talk about it, but I don't think you want to hear any of them.
No, I've been looking at them here, trying to get them all together for this post game show, and they're just ugly. I mean, the only good numbers are David Montgomery, but there's too many three and outs. There's just too many problems that happened in this game that reminded me of the offenses of the past, where on first down, you gave up a sack on one of the three and outs. On another one, you had a drop pass by Cole Kmet on a first down. And the other one, you have an offside. So you start with first and 15, and that's three or four first three and outs. And you can't have those negative plays to start the drives. And just was kind of gross to see that offense kind of rear its head, you know, in the first half. And I liked what I saw in the running game in the second half, but the running game for the Green Bay Packers, that's the difference in this entire story.
Oh, boy. The Bears, you know, did you catch the number of that truck that hit them? I mean, they had tire tracks on them at one point. And, you know, the Bears did a good job of running the football on that drive that ended at the goal line. But for the most part, they just you're not going to win very many games where you spend that length of time without a first down.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, that just it was just kind of gross to see that offense. I was hoping for some progression, some improvement from what we've seen in the past. I wanted to see Justin Fields be more decisive in the passing game, and he just doesn't seem like when he does get to throw it. I think he threw it only 11 times a day, but when he does get to throw it, it doesn't seem like maybe nobody's open. I want to see the all 22 more to see the routes and everything, but it just doesn't seem like he's very decisive in where he wants to go with the ball. It just wasn't pretty. You know, like I said, it's too bad there were too many mistakes that they put upon themselves. You know, right. These weren't just players making, this is not just making, you know, action mistakes. These are mistakes they can't happen in pre-snap and things like that.
312-644-6767. We're going to take your phone calls. We'll let you tell us what you saw. I think that, Patrick, we've seen this game before. I mean, when you look at the final score, 27-10 would say blowout. It was more competitive than that, and the Bears did a good job early on. But when you – you know, I don't have the fumble numbers, excuse me, the penalty numbers in front of me, but when you, the discipline that they had showed seemed to disappear.
Yes.
I mean, and some of it was crazy calls, but some of it was kind of crazy on their part. And there was, they did some decent things, but I never really felt that they were in the game, right? I mean, at 10-7 maybe, but that was about it.
No, and, you know, when they got down to the goal line, they would have made it a one-score game if they do get it in there. And that's when I was like, okay, maybe something can happen. Maybe the second half happens like it did against the 49ers game. But, no, I didn't feel comfortable at all until that moment when it was fourth and inches and they couldn't get the ball in. But, no, it just – they got outplayed by a better team. I thought the Green Bay Packers played better than they thought they would. And I'm really shocked at how well they ran the ball. I really am. I thought they would have a little bit better. The Bears would have a little bit better plan, a little bit more activity. tackle a lot better than they did. I think that's a huge issue in this game as well. I mean, how many times I was listening to the Joniak call while I was watching the game, and he just kept saying, miss tackle, miss tackle, miss tackle, miss tackle. And it was all over the place, and it was everybody. I mean, Kyler Gordon, oh boy, welcome to the NFL. That was a rough game for him. You know, he missed a lot of tackles, was not very good in coverage. And the one that kind of surprised me, and maybe it's because he didn't get a lot of preseason reps because of his hold in, is Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
You know, this is a game where, you know, if you want to be the all pro and that top paid linebacker, when they're going to rush this many times at you with these running backs, this is the game you have to step up and be the leader of that defense and make the big tackles, and not the tackle 7 or 8 yards down the field, but at the line of scrimmage. You know, those are the plays where he needs to step up and be that all pro Pro Bowl linebacker.
Yeah. The Packers rushing totals here, 38 carries for 203 yards, 203 yards. Obviously, it was Aaron Jones with 132 yards on 15 carries. That was far too easy.
8.8 average per carry.
That's sick. I mean, really, there's no way around it. Now, you know, one was 36 yards, but 61 yards for Dillon, A.J. Dillon, and then Rodgers carried 5 times for 10 yards. So that told a lot of the story. Listen, the Bears, they had their own rushing totals were pretty good. 15 carries, 122 yards for David Montgomery. But they had the 28-yarder followed by the 27-yarder, or was it the other way around? And then they have a false start. So that was frustrating to watch. They, as you say, ended up going down to the goal line. But what are you going to do? I mean, I don't know that I understood. I know that I didn't like them being in shotgun on the goal line. I thought we had decided that when you're going to run the football, you were going to run the football. And if you're going to do a quarterback sneak, why start it 6 yards behind the goal? It made no sense to me.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that play call as well. And the other one is they'd been running the ball to the right side pretty well most of the game, and run something there with the fullback. You know what I mean? Run the old I formation, power play, toss play, or whatever with the fullback out there. And I'm not a fan of that call when you do run a shotgun like that. I mean, I guess it was kind of a quarterback power play, but it just obviously didn't work. I mean, there was a little bit of a hole there that maybe Justin Fields could have cut back in the backside A-gap or frontside A-gap, I think I said it would have been. But, you know, it just didn't work out. But I the other things I want to talk about too, Mully, is the first half, just some of the stats that I wrote down. It was ugly in the first half. 17 offensive plays for the Bears to 40 offensive plays for the Green Bay Packers. You know, 3-3 and outs. The Bears only had 4 first downs. Green Bay Packers had 17 first downs in the first half. That's kind of when the game was lost to me. That just they were putting it on them, and it was ugly. I mean, the 3-3 and outs is bad, but 17 offensive plays, and then also with, you know, Justin Fields only throwing the ball 11 times. They just didn't had a lack of total plays. I don't know what the total plays is now after the entire game, but the first half, it just, you know, they didn't have the ball enough. They kept giving it back to the Packers, and they were doing what they were doing.
Yeah, Justin Fields was 7 of 11 for the game. I mean, that's crazy.
He has 28 pass attempts in 2 games.
Yeah, that's insane.
As much as I want to see him run the ball, I still think you have to pass it a little bit more. But again, that's hurting themselves by not having enough possessions or enough plays to rack up the pass plays.
Right.
To add that to the run game.
Yeah, they did not have a first down until, was it the second possession of the second half? They went from their opening possession to then again getting a first down in the second possession of the second half. I mean, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem – I mean, first of all, you're not going to win very many football games in that fashion, frankly.
No.
But, you know, come on. Well, I mean, even it's frustrating.
It is. And even, just go back to the number of total plays. So against the 49ers, they had 56 total plays. Mm-hmm. 49ers had 67. And this week, they only had 41 offensive plays, and the Green Bay Packers had 66. And that's just the offense you've got to get first downs. You've got to, you know, get more plays and give yourself more plays to score, more plays to make yardage, and they're not doing it. They're not making enough first downs right now.
Yeah, that's really it's a pity. And some of these numbers are awful. 312-644-6767 And, you know, the worst numbers are the ones that you know, the collected numbers of Aaron Rodgers, which you put a ban on earlier, and we'll stay away from
this
that.
This still makes me sick. It makes me ill. It makes my water here still taste terrible.
Yeah, it's beyond belief, frankly, that he has dominated you in that fashion. I mean, it's just downright depressing. It doesn't make an ounce of sense.
No, it is depressing, and it's just unfortunate they've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks back-to-back, and
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers seems like he corrected his ills that he had last week with those receivers. Got, you know, Sammy Watkins deep late, mm-hmm. Which sealed the game, and there's some other plays. This passing game looked a lot different than what they did against the Vikings last week.
Yeah, they looked like a significantly better team,
yes.
Frankly. All right, 312-644-6767. We'll start the conversation with Chris. Chris is in Evanston. We should let you know that the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download that BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Hey, Chris.
Hey, y'all. What's going on? What the Matt Nagy's going on around here? I can't believe that I've been loving this coach, you know, last week.
Yeah.
The very first play of the game, he went empty. I was about to lose my mind. He redeemed himself the rest of the game. All this whole week, he's making calls. I love everything he did. And then I'm seeing fourth and an inch and a half at the goal line, and we're in shotgun. And I promise you, we need to do a seance or something, because Matt Nagy put a hex on us, man. He took control of all those coaches and said, I'm not going to let y'all make a logical call. We're going to go shotgun and fourth on an inch and a half at the goal line. In addition to that, as a lifelong Bears fan, I cannot stand that every time we play the Packers, the refs refuse to give us the opportunity to just play the game and let the results happen. But I love what I saw. In the sense that, take away that one play at the goal line, yes, our young guys are hungry, they're thirsty, they're going in there, they penetrated, they missed. That's going to happen to young guys, but they're going after it. They're not scared to try to make a play. Eddie Jackson, who I've been trying to cut and release and trade for the last 2 years, played an outstanding game. No one's going to talk about that till you look at the All-22, because he didn't have a turnover and all this stuff. He was everywhere he needed to be. He was making plays, doing his thing. We can win this division. I'm not saying we're going to, because of we need to execute. But, hey, I mean, I was with you in the pregame, Manly. I thought we were going to win this game.
Thanks, I was hopeful. Chris. I was hopeful until that fourth down call, and they didn't get it in there, that maybe they could turn around the second half. But I don't think there's any way they can win this division. I just think their talent, the lack of talent, is really what's killing them. And, you know, you saw Kyler Gordon today play like a rookie. Aaron yes. Rodgers used him like a rookie, and that's unfortunate. But like I said earlier in the pregame too, I want to see him grow from this. This is going to be a big learning experience. He's going to play a lot of other quarterbacks in this league that are pretty darn good, and he did not show up today. He did not show up today in the run game. He just seemed like he was not the same Kyler Gordon as last week. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because of who Aaron Rodgers is. Maybe he was, you know, abusing him a little bit with his eyes, and, you know, was hitting him with those quick slants, and looked like he was just lost out there. He played like a rookie.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly we've seen a lot of rookie corners play pretty poorly in Chicago. That's not an insult to anyone. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. you know, there's a reason that rookies are rookies. You know, there's going to be uneven performances, and he had a bad game, but hopefully he can get better. But he did. I mean, he did look completely lost in coverage there, and there were a couple of times where. You know, you mentioned, you know, you trying to set the edge, and they yep. actually showed one on TV where he just kind of got locked inside and you know, run past. I don't know how else you'd describe it. But, you know, Donnell Wolford was a rookie under Ditka and was awful, and then he came back. And, yeah, I just think that when you're a rookie, you're going to have some uneven performances. I try not to get too worked up about it. I thought that Braxton Jones – had some moments, and then he had some moments where he was beaten and he yes. gave up another sack.
Yes.
So that's going to be a weekly occurrence, apparently. I just think it's difficult for these guys. They're just kind of thrown into the fire, and you know, it's It's one thing to be at home with the weather conditions helping you and the crowd on your side. It's another thing to be up in Lambeau with that crowd. We talked to Mark Grody before the game, and everybody was already crazed, and that was well before the start of the game. So I think it was a big moment, a big place, national television. It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is, and it's a great learning experience for him, and you know he's going to look back on it, and hopefully he learns from it and gets better. But you know, I think anytime you're a rookie DB going against Aaron Rodgers up there at Green Bay, that's a tough task, very tough task, even when you don't have Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that is definitely tough stuff. All right, we're going to get to all your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be right back with you. It is the postgame, and it was a bad – hopefully the postgame will be better than the game. But we're hopeful for the post and for your contributions. But goodness gracious, there was a loss of hope there at one point in that game.
Hopefully, very much so.
Yeah, hopefully
we'll bring it here. We'll bring it tonight. We'll bring it for the postgame.
312-644-6767. He's Pat Manley. You're listening to The Score.
Fields has Montgomery to his left. Equanimeous St. Brown to the left side of the formation. Mooney in the right slot. Here's the snap. Quarterback keeper. Fields working his way towards the goal line. He is turned away by Green Bay. Turned away. Not enough mustard. On the push up front. And the Bears are stopped on fourth and inches. They pulled out Lucas Patrick. They couldn't clear enough space.
We're back with more of The Score's Bears postgame show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long snapping iron man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's the post game, and that play was that was a strange call, frankly, Patrick. And I, you know, let's be honest about it. That was something that I thought we'd seen enough of. I just, you know, I complained about it after watching Denver last week. I just can't stand when you're in short yardage. Be in short yardage. Go after people. You know, block somebody. Make it mano a mano. You got a big, strong guy in Justin Fields, and let him take the ball and go. And instead, he's like picking and looking. And, you know, frankly, if they had called that a touchdown, then the replay would have held up. But they didn't, so it didn't hold up because there was not enough evidence to overturn it. But it looked like the ball may have broken the plane. It was in his left arm. It was hard to tell, but they did look at it, and they didn't get the benefit of that call.
Yeah, it's just it's unfortunate. You know, if it would have worked, you said, hey, what a brilliant play call, right? If he walks right in, if they do block it up better. But I agree. I guess what they're thinking, get the ball in your best athlete's hands and see what can happen. But I don't like the design of the call. I don't like the design of the play. I would rather – what I saw most of the game is when they were running right, they were moving people off the ball, both with Lucas Patrick and Tevin Jenkins then at right guard. I thought more so with Tevin Jenkins, and obviously Lucas Patrick was in. He was the guard that was pulling. But I would have liked something going over the right side. I think Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins, they move a lot of large people. They're very large humans, and they can move a lot of large people. And I would have liked to have a play running behind them, but I understand it was Lucas Patrick's time to be in there. But well, speaking of Lucas Patrick as well, and I can't wait to really break down this tape, it looked like to me he struggled in pass protection early a lot. He was giving up a lot of pressure. And I want to see what Tevin Jenkins did. I don't think he did as bad as Lucas Patrick. So I'm wondering if they're going to we talked about the pregame. How are they evaluating this? Are they evaluating him to compete against Tevin Jenkins as the right guard? Or are they just getting him reps to get ready to move to center? But I'm really looking forward to kind of breaking those two guys down after this week, after seeing this game and as many rush attempts they had, as many plays that both those guys had in there to see which one had a better game and to see where Lucas Patrick moves in the future.
They love him. I mean, yeah. they paid him and they're going to play him. And I think maybe I'm wrong, but I think they're trying to get him ready to take over from Mustafa. I just don't know how I feel about that, frankly. And, you know, you can never have enough good players and you can never have enough competition among those players. But I'm just very curious to see exactly what they're doing and trying to get done. So.
Well, that's another thing I want to look at, too, because we talked about in the pregame, Sam Mustipher has an opportunity right now to keep his job.
Yeah.
And to me, he played pretty well last week, and I really want to break this one down. It looked like he played well this week as well. Mm-hmm. And he was going against Kenny Clark and some good players in there in the middle with the Green Bay Packers D-line, and he seemed like he played pretty well up front.
That was one of my thoughts, Patrick, when they started to move on that drive where they were running the ball. I don't even know if they threw a pass on that drive. I was wondering if that was conditioning. If the Bears, you know, with their you know, be prepared mentally and physically, if they were better prepared physically than the Green Bay Packers, at least that's what I was hoping.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but then was the Green Bay Packers offensive line more conditioned than the Bears D-line as well?
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. Never mind. Yeah, I'll take that back. Just on the one drive.
Right.
Later in the game.
No, it did. They did. They you know, that's the thing, yeah, is the run game can wear on you and wear on you, and they did it the first half, and they brought it out the second half, and they did start wearing on them.
But they lost the line of scrimmage for a lot of that game, both sides of the ball,
yes,
frankly.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Frank is in Bolingbrook. Good morning. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, what's up? Super Bowl, Super Bears. I'm actually with my buddy Dave, and today's my birthday. Who cares?
I do.
Oh, he does, apparently. So first off, guys, I'm going to tell you one thing. The last caller stated that we're one play away. We weren't. We're about 20 plays away from winning today. Secondly, Fields cannot, and I'm going to repeat this, cannot read the defense. Thirdly, the coaching staff needs to play Tecmo ball. You do not – there's no play in a half-yard line that you do a quarterback sneak and a shotgun. Lastly, I'm going to tell you right now, the Bears are going to get great. Unfortunately, when Virginia passes away, sorry to say that, but that's it. Super Bowl, Super Bears, my ass!
Happy birthday, Frank.
Yeah, at least he had a good time tonight.
Yeah.
Unlike the Bears did.
And he and Dave are having some fun, so God bless them. Fields was very good. It wasn't a good game for Justin Fields. And, you know, there were, again, I think we've been saying this about his career. There were some good moments, but the altogether, it wasn't a very good game.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, I'm not a quarterback guru, and I do want to talk to somebody and really find out, is he really struggling reading defenses? Because he just doesn't look decisive. There's times, you know, the pocket, you can't stand in the pocket forever. Pocket's about 3.5-4 seconds. And there's sometimes he gets back there and it gets to 4 seconds and he still doesn't have any idea where to go with the ball. Is that because the guys aren't open, or is that because he doesn't know where to go with the ball? And that's one thing I do want to figure out. And we need to know that as Bears fans, and the Bears organization needs to know that as well. That's part of his evaluation that we all have for him. Is he going to be that franchise quarterback? And if you can't read the defense and you can't be decisive, then you're not going to be an elite quarterback.
Right.
I don't see that. I don't see him doing that.
Yeah, we talked about it in the pregame, this idea that things have to be in time, on time, and that's, you know, 1-2-3 throw. That's not, you know, figuring out that you're going to spin around someone. And that can work, and that can help, but everything in time, on time is what they strive for. And you just can't rely on an offense that needs a play to break down to have success. So it's something to consider, no question about it. We'll keep a close eye on it.
Well, how about these stats in two games for Mooney and Kmet?
Yeah.
Mooney has 5 targets, 2 catches for 4 yards.
Yeah.
Kmet has 2 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards.
Well, he could have had a catch.
He should have had a catch. Could have got up. It would have turned it into 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 4.
Yeah.
And that's when it turned into 2nd and 10. That was another 3 and out.
Yeah, that's, you know, frankly, those are Allen Robinson numbers. You know? I mean,
yeah,
being honest.
Yep.
Steven is listening online in Columbus. Hey, Steven.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Been better.
Well, any good feeling from week one certainly kind of went out of the window tonight. I think Matt Eberflus faces his biggest challenge. You know, it's not just Eberflus, but, of course, Luke Getsy. I'm really, really starting to see that both Getsy and Nathaniel Hackett is a mediocre coach without Aaron Rodgers to a degree. Now, of course, Hackett is a head coach, so obviously that's a different story. But, you know, we saw similar tendencies with Nagy going cute and everything. But I'm seeing that with Getsy on that 4th down call. And also the tendency to get away from the run, as well as trying to run on second and long situations all night. We saw that last week in that monsoon. But obviously the Bears have a serious talent deficiencies that's probably too much to overcome, even with the scheme changes and everything. That's one thing I think all of us probably learned tonight in a hard way. And I think it's unfair to properly judge Fields with just 11 passes. You know, I mean, what are you going to evaluate, you know, on that? You know, I know a lot of people are probably jumping off of his bandwagon right now, but, you know, Mooney and Kmet certainly didn't distinguish themselves. And I'm really, really worried that we're just going to have to play perfect every single week, which is literally impossible with this talent. And sure, I mean, they might be able to steal a few wins here and there, but tonight just was a reality check for the Bears. And I'm sure Ryan Poles probably realizes just how bad of a talent that this team has right now. And you know,
yeah, thanks, Stephen. I got to be honest with you. I think we knew that there was a talent gap, and we saw it in week one, and we saw them win anyway. And maybe the weather had something to do with it, but they still, you know, they still believed. I'm not ready to say Luke Getsy ran a Nathaniel Hackett game plan. I mean, there was one play I didn't agree with. I don't know what he's trying to get done, and how he's mapping it out. But I think it's really difficult to put together a game plan against a team that has superior talent.
Yes, I think the biggest thing is, and I wrote here, just you got to play clean.
Yeah.
You have to play clean. You have to,
right,
like they did last week, limit the penalties, stay ahead of the chains, at least in the second half, and they didn't do that. They shot themselves in the foot on three of those three and outs.
Yeah.
They had seven penalties for whatever the yardage was, and they had timely penalties, and they gave up sacks as well. So there's things that they have to play a clean game. They have to stop the little things like that that are going to hurt you to be able to win, especially against a Packers team that has the talent that they have.
Let's try Evan. Evan is in Naperville. Hey, Evan.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for the call. Just want to talk. Tonight was the first time I feel like in Justin's young career where I've lost a little confidence in him. And I'm specifically talking about the sacks he took tonight. I think Pat mentioned that earlier. Holding the ball in the pocket for as long as he did, just the unawareness of the offensive line or the defensive line coming at him. You know, I know we're not working with the best talent, but you know, you see Rodgers moving up, throwing the ball away, throwing it at receiver's feet, throwing it out of bounds when he's outside the box. I know one play in particular, there's a screamer off the left side. You know, I saw Justin maybe acknowledge him while he was kind of turning back, and I thought maybe, you know, it's a one-on-one kind of in the open field. We've got an athletic quarterback. Could he get out of it? Maybe could he make a guy move, get away from that sack? But he ended up taking that one as well. So just some, you know, disappointment in his ability to not, you know, it's one thing to not hit wide receivers. It's one thing not necessarily make plays, but taking those sacks was brutal in some of those drives.
Well, he took three sacks for 22 yards, and the Bears got to Rodgers three times for 23 yards. So I don't know that it was – as I said, on the one, Braxton Jones, the guy ran around him, right?
Yep.
And then came back, and, you know, there wasn't much you're going to do on that. I think there was another play where it was like a running play where the guy ran around him and he let the guy go, and the guy caught Fields from behind,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to blame everything. I'll have to watch the game again. That is awful to have 11 attempts in a game, and that is because you can't get anything going, and you can't sustain any first downs.
Yep.
The first drive of the game, they go down and they score and they get some first downs. Then you're into the second half before you have another first down.
That's awful.
That's really
41 total plays. So the offensive meetings tomorrow are going to be extremely short or really long with a little bit of plays that you're going over being corrected as much as they should be. One thing I want to tell you, the sack that Preston Smith had on on Justin Fields. That's the one that was the open field sack. I thought that's Preston Smith is a darn good football player.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the defensive ends are going to be coached and are coached to play Justin Fields that way on those play action boot plays. So he didn't really come up the field and give him a way to, you know, spin out like you've seen him do it. He just kind of slow played it and just kind of walked up on him and was able to, you know, kind of maintain the contain and then just kind of got up on him right when he was trying to boot out. And I just thought Preston Smith made a very, very good play. Preston Smith is a good player there.
Yeah, no question. They've got some highly paid good players, mm-hmm. and they get paid too. They get paid more than the Bears. I think we've been over this before. 312-644-6767. Was there anything you liked? Anything really stand out to you? They didn't score a ton, but they stayed at it a bit with the defense, and they did get a couple of – they got a takeaway, and they mm-hmm. had a couple of big plays that prevented a lot of I don't know.
I'll tell you this. I love the way David Montgomery ran the ball.
Yes.
I absolutely That's loved good. It. After last yes. week and watching him being indecisive and just not – didn't look comfortable, today he looked like the David Montgomery I think we were all hoping to see.
All right, 312-644-6767. Yeah, he was definitely a highlight, and there weren't many. It's the post-game show. We're breaking down the Bears and another loss to Green Bay, another nationally televised loss at Green Bay. Good
oh,
God.
Man.
We'll be right back here on The Score.
St. Brown to the left, stack line of scrimmage, two tight ends, right side Montgomery, the lone back, snap, Fields faking, now going to keep it to the five, diving for the end zone, he is in yes. for the touchdown, Bears, Justin Fields in from 3 yards.
We're back with more of The Score's Bears postgame show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, indeed, it's the postgame, and thanks a ton to WBBM, our sister station, for the highlights. You heard there the touchdown. Oh, for the glory days of the touchdown. Do you remember then? It was so wonderful. And that those 7 points were the Bears' nice drive. They take a 7-3 lead. You thought to yourself, huh? And then obviously they got a field goal after Rodgers. They got a fumble. Rodgers and A.J. Dillon kind of ran into each other while handing off, and the ball hits the turf, and Dominique Robinson is quick enough to get to it, and that was great. The Bears come down the field and manage a field goal out of that, so that's their 10 points for the night. The Packers had another bizarre one where Josh Myers was snapping the ball, And Christian Watson was in motion, and the ball bounced off his arm and went right past Aaron Rodgers, but they recovered the ball. The Bears didn't get to it.
Yeah, the Packers' offense didn't look as crisp as normal, but their run game sure did.
Oh boy,
their run game looked strong. It got ugly. You know, it got ugly early and it got ugly late. Just with that run game, I don't understand missed tackles. I understand those guys are good running backs, but there's guys that are wrapping up and falling off, three or four at a time, and they're getting big chunks of yardage. I don't know what the stat is, and I would love to find it. Maybe I can find it before the show's over. But on their first down carries, they were averaging something like 8 yards a run. It was something that was just crazy. And then you're going to get yourself in second and two or second and one. It's a much easier way for Aaron Rodgers to run that offense. But their first down rushing attack was off the charts, and I think that killed the Bears running game. I mean, the Bears defense up front. It was just that's inexcusable. You can't have that.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing, Pat. I mean, was that a surprise that they?
No.
I mean, didn't they say from the minute the game ended, the flower came out and said we didn't get enough handoffs to AJ, enough touches for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So you knew, I mean, this literally moments after their opening loss, they knew they had to do that. They talked about it all week. I mean, that was their game plan. And when we talked in the pregame, that was the fear. You know, sure. You're worried that the Bears, are they going to be able to stop the run? Because these guys are running at you.
Yeah, and, you know, against the 49ers, they didn't stop them. The first half, they got killed, the Bears defense. And then the second half, they stiffened up a little bit. But, you know, last week, Green Bay ran the ball 18 times. Today, they ran it 38. So he knew what he wanted to do. And I'm just a little disappointed in the way Roquan Smith played. I thought, you know, this is a game where, you know, I guess he had a lot of tackles, but they weren't a lot of tackles near the line of scrimmage.
Right.
There were tackles with him, you know, on his back or falling backwards. And this is a game where, if, you know, like I said earlier, if he wants to get paid and be that top linebacker, this is a game that you lean on a guy like him to take care of those running backs. And he didn't do it.
The Bears open as a 3-point favorite over Houston. Houston, Lovie Smith coming in next Sunday at Soldier Field. And the Bears are the favorites in that game. So we'll see if that holds up. But, I mean, there's a good chance for you to get back in a winning category. And hopefully, you know, they do that right away. But there's a lot to work on. I mean, there's plenty on that tape to be worried about.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with the win last week, I think we had some rose-covered glasses as well.
Yes.
Colored glasses, excuse me.
Yes.
Because, you know, it was tough to really evaluate the team with the weather conditions and just how that game unfolded, and the second half being, you know, a complete monsoon at the end when the 49ers were trying to come back. But, yeah, this is a game against the Houston Texans team that, you know, isn't very good as well. Let's see how they match up against the bottom third team.
There you go.
So the bottom third teams going against each other, and see if we can be at the top of that.
You just scared the heck out of me with that comment, frankly. Hopefully there'll be more catches for Cole Kmet.
Yes. And Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, there you go. Well, at least Darnell Mooney's caught a ball.
That's true.
Let's try John. John's listening on the Odyssey app. He's down in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. Let me get my three quick points out. First of all, go back and look at the tape. The game is being evaluated wrong. Bears did not pass one time on first down in the first half. Not one time. Rodgers rolled out more than Fields did. We kept Fields in the pocket. And then my last point, why in the world, with 3 minutes to go in a game, is he in the back passing, getting a chance to get hurt? And when he ain't passed all game but 7 of 11, why is he passing with 3 minutes and we down, what, 14, 17 points?
17,
mm-hmm. 17 points, yeah.
That's inexcusable. He could get hurt. That doesn't make any sense.
The idea is to win, and you know, if you somehow, I hear you. It's two touchdowns plus, and it's a big ask. But I suppose, you know, yeah. I mean, the only thing that happened is he threw a pick, and it ruined his
quarterback rating.
But I don't think it was too good before the pick, frankly. Right?
No, it wasn't. And he just, you know, I don't mind him passing late in the game. Just get rid of the ball and just get more attempts. You know, you're seeing a different defense. It's going to be more a prevent defense, but just get more attempts out there. But, yeah, it's just what you have to do. You got to try to fight to win the game. You never know what's going to happen. You have to preach that to your players. You can't give up on them. Just keep calling what you're calling. I don't have a problem with that. But, John, you had a good point that, you know, they rolled Aaron Rodgers out more than they did Justin Fields. But, yes, he only had 11 pass attempts, but I want to see more of him on the move. I really do. I just don't feel like we're seeing that. And as many times as we ran the ball, well, we were in position of 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. Your play action is really not going to help that much in that situation. But, you know, some of those times I wish they would run some more play action pass off that run game that was very dominant today for the Bears.
312-644-6767. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the postgame show on the Score.
You know, in regards to the challenge that we had in the red area there on 4th and 1. You know, we thought we had a good look at it, so we made a challenge. They thought otherwise, and that's the way it goes sometimes. But we thought that was the best play we had at that point right there for us to score. And if we score there, it's a different ballgame. It's a one-score game at that point, and we still got a chance right there to win.
We're back with more of the Score's Bears postgame show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long-snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is indeed the postgame show. And Patrick, that was Matt Eberflus, and he didn't really get into the whole shotgun, but he said that they thought that was the best play and that if they score there, they had a chance to win. Do you agree with him?
If they score there, do they have a chance to win? For sure.
Yeah.
Anything can happen when you get that. Would have been a 7-point game. But I think I read a quote, too, from Matt Eberflus that he said what they were trying to do on that play was overload the box with more blockers. So if you have the quarterback have the ball, you know, then they'll have more blockers there instead of having to hand it off to David Montgomery or whatever. But I still would have liked to have a fullback back there and then line up under center and then just kind of run it that way. But, could they have won? Sure, they could have won. Would they have won? I doubt it, just the way that the Packers were playing. I think they could have kind of run out the clock with the way they were running the ball. And I don't – it would have been exciting. Let's put it that way. It would have been exciting if they would have scored. But I don't think they would have won the game. Could they have? Yes.
Yeah, I just think, though, that it's a strain. I mean, if you line up and you say, okay, you know, this is the game – You try to stop us, and we have the added benefit of knowing the snap count, mm-hmm. of having, you know, the quarterback an inch from the goal line. I don't know. I've just seen too many. I hate that shotgun, and it, and I'll tell you what, I would have hated it even more if they'd thrown the ball there when they didn't the whole game. So do you think Green Bay really thought that they were gonna spread them out? And I don't know. I think that's nuts.
Yeah, I just, you know, there's a better call there. I don't know what it is exactly, but there's a better call there. I just, you know, you see it all every Sunday that teams will make that call and it doesn't work out. It's something, you know, all of us as fans see it and talk about it and you just wish it wouldn't happen.
What was your least favorite moment in the game? Because for me, it was that the minute they lined up in the shotgun, I just threw my hands up. It just frustrated me.
I think everybody did in Chicago. I guarantee you, a lot of the bars, everybody's put their hands on their head and like, what?
Is that what? Because of last year? I mean, are we judging this group based on a previous administration?
Oh, I think it's like the hangover effect or whatever you want to call it. Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's still there on us. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That just,
But again, if it would have worked, then you're like, okay, well, maybe he's got something figured out, but it didn't work, and that's the unfortunate thing. It would have made it a much more exciting game going down in the fourth quarter.
I totally agree. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. Let's see. We've got Matt. Matt is in Beverly. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Couple things. Yeah, I thought – overall, I actually thought the game plan from the coaching staff was pretty sound. You know, I think it swung on a couple plays late in the first half. When Green Bay had that 2nd and 28, and they threw the screen pass,
yeah.
The whole stadium knew they were throwing it. And then Gordon, I think number 6, came running up and picked the side, and then they picked up, I think, 25 yards on it. Then they got the first down and went in to score a touchdown before the half. You know, they were very conservative on defense again. But, you know, some of the players just didn't make plays. They're inexperienced, and they're just not as good as the Packers. I don't think you can, you know, you do the best you can. Offensively, very conservative. I would have liked to have seen Fields roll out a lot more, too. But, you know, that play, the shotgun play, obviously, I think they should have quarterback snuck it. Tom Brady's made a career of that. But through it all, after all of that, you know, they had a chance to cut it to a 7-point game with 7 or 8 minutes left. And, you know, for a team that had inexperience on the road against a Super Bowl contender, you know, I don't think it was too bad a game. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of games like that. So,
yeah, you know, I can understand why you say that, but you got to remember, you know, Green Bay is going to presumably improve as the year goes on, right? They're going to get Bakhtiari back, who's one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, great left tackle. They're going to have, presumably, the younger receivers not running into a snap or, you know, learning to play and becoming more dangerous as the quarterback learns to trust them. So I think they're going to be a better team. You know, they're trying to win now. They've been 13-3 for a few straight years, and they're looking – at the playoffs and what they're going to do then, they're not like the Bears. They're not building something with an if come. And, you know, one of the things that scares me, Pat, is once injuries hit, and they inevitably will, if your roster isn't talented,
oh boy,
there's a chasm. There's a big drop.
It's going to be, yeah, they have to stay healthy to stay competitive. Yep. That's a great point, because if there are, you know, think about the defensive backfield. They've got, you know, the young guys back there. Kendall Vildor is another young guy. Any of those guys go down, you've got guys that aren't as good as them, and that is a very scary point to have that happen. But, you know, the caller there, Matt, you asked me about the worst moment.
Yeah.
That fourth down play was a bad moment, but I honestly, he brought it up, the second and 28. That, to me, was the worst moment for me, because that kind of summed up this defensive play. You got yourself an opportunity to get off the field, and then all of a sudden you've got missed tackles, bad angles by everybody, and that just summed up what the Packers' offense was doing to the Bears' defense. And you can't have that. You worked where they got a sack to get to second and 28,
yes,
and you let them convert that into a first down and points. That was my worst moment.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that you know, I got to say, it is really when you just think about the entirety of the game, to me, it's worrisome that if you're going to miss tackles and get bad angles, running the football is something that, you know, I get it. If teams are running between the 20s, you know, it happens, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, this defense is going to allow a certain amount of that. But when a team announces that, hey, we're going to run the ball, and then they leave tire marks on you, that's pretty upsetting.
That's not good. That front seven, they're not going to have fun meetings tomorrow.
No.
You know, because you got to rewind it for the left defensive end, the left defensive. So you're rewinding that over and over and over and over, and you're going to see all those missed tackles, guys getting run over, bad angles. That's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. And that's something, too, that Eberflus talked about this week in his press conferences, that, you know, to me, the tackling was improved last week compared to the year prior. But to him, it's not up to his standard, which I like. He's setting such a high standard. And he talked about telling the guys, we've got to improve our tackling. We have to improve our tackling. And they go out there and have a performance like this after he preached that all during the week.
Yeah. That is upsetting. I think that they, you know, we played that Alan Williams quote from earlier in the week about not, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah, not believing. I mean, you know, this is a team, because of everything that we've talked about, the construction of the roster, the number of guys that they are still paying that are not in the program anymore, the way they're cleaning up the salary cap and the amount of money they'll have to invest next year. Nonetheless, this is a team that doesn't have a lot of front line. They're going to have to be really sound and really fundamentally good if they're going to be able to do some of this stuff, because, you know, there's a lot of guys that you would rely upon that aren't here. And you've made those decisions, and I have no problem with it. And they, mm-hmm, you know, they've done what they wanted to do with that. But, you know, that makes it even more important to be about as fundamentally good a football team as you can be. And that means no penalties.
Yes.
That means just making basic plays. You don't have to be, you know, the whole point of the defense is to be simple and to not be complicated, but to just do the simple things right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just, like, you know, the way I put it, you have to play a clean game.
Yes.
You have to not drop balls. Cole Kmet can't drop a ball on first down and 10. It should have been second and four or second and five or whatever
right.
It was. Pringle jumps off sides. A wide receiver jumps off sides. I think it was going to be on a run play.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're giving up sacks, which is going to happen to these young tackles. Larry Borum gave up one. I kind of gave his praises a little bit in the pregame. I thought he took a little step back this week. But you have to play a clean game, and then you have to stay injury free with this team, with this talent they have. And it's not going to happen, but we talked about it too in the pregame that we, you know, how do you define success for this team as the year goes on?
Yeah.
Wins and losses is probably number one, right? But that's not the true evaluation to me with this roster. To me, I want to see growth each week. So Kyler Gordon went out and played a terrible game. I want to see how he responds against the Texans. You know, I want to see Larry Borum perform better than he did this week, get back to the way he played the first week. I want to see the young guys improve. I want to see Braxton Jones get better each week. I want to see Justin Fields, number one. That's the number one player you want to see get better, is Justin Fields progress. And I don't think we saw that today.
No, he took a step back, too. I mean, you know, here's the thing. His numbers weren't that dissimilar to the numbers that he had in the first game, only that was a monsoon. And we forgave that because that was a monsoon. And, you know, I also thought that one of the things we talked about after the first game was the touchdown pass to Dante Pettis, where he kept his head up, where he took off, but he didn't. He kept his wits about him. He understood his positioning on the field, and he made a beautiful pass across his body and you know, to a wide open receiver. You know, at a moment earlier in that game, he's running and he's free and he's 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage when he threw the football. Like, how are you not aware?
Know that. Yeah.
You've got to know where the down.
You
begins.
Know that in high school.
Yes. Yes. That one, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was just crazy.
Could he have run that for the first down?
You know, that's a good question. That's one of the
I'm
things
trying to recall. Yeah. Could he have just tucked that thing and gotten the first down with his legs?
I don't know. He might've gotten a little greedy because he saw, you know,
a wide open player and, hey, I'm going to make a completion.
Yeah. Rarest of all plays. Yeah. That's so mean. But yeah, I mean, listen, you know, these numbers are just, you're not going to win a lot of professional football games. I don't care how, I mean, maybe in the 1940s with 7 of 11 for 70 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really rough. And I don't have all the book in front of me, so I don't know how many plays they ran, how many you know, there were three sacks. I don't have everything in front of me, but that is pretty awful for a professional football game to have 11 total attempts and
41 total plays.
41 plays. Wow.
Like 41 plays. I need to go back and look, you know. I know the average is 60 to 70, but 41 is that's abysmal. And then you look at the targets here. Equanimity, I mean, I know it's only 11 passes, but Cole Kmet targeted once. Darnell Mooney targeted twice. Who was talked about all offseason who was going to have two players that were going to have breakout years?
Yep.
Kmet and Mooney. And they haven't done anything the first 2 weeks.
Darnell Mooney caught one pass for -4 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only pass he caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else bothered me, and maybe this is just me, but Rodgers got credit for a touchdown on a running play to Aaron.
Oh,
Jones.
The pass, yeah.
What was that?
I guess that's a forward pass.
That was not a forward pass.
That's a shovel pass. To me, that's a run.
Yeah, it's like a handoff.
Yes, who are we kidding? Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, it'll be good to see Lovie, Pat.
Can't wait
to have Lovie.
He's a good man. Good man.
Especially if he's bringing the Texans with him.
Yes, exactly. Bottom third team.
Bears favored by 3. There won't be many games
where you
have 11 pass attempts and then you're favored to win. But this is one of them, and here's hoping.
Let's just hope we get to see a better Bears team next week against an inferior opponent compared
Fair
to
enough.
The 49ers and the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. Thank you, Patrick. I'll be on tomorrow morning. I believe it starts at 5:30.
Get some sleep.
Yeah, I got to sleep quickly. And are you on tomorrow or are you on Tuesday?
I think I'm going to just be on Tuesday and Fridays now. Still working with Shane.
Okay.
Yep.
He'll let me know.
Figure
it out.
Yeah.
He'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Caesar, thanks to Caesar for his hard work. Thanks to everybody for listening. And I wish the news was better.
Oh,
but God knows, you know, we'll be talking about
one
it.
One day it will be, Mully. One day it's going to flip for us. This rivalry is going to turn
to us.
It's going to happen.
They'll take the North and never give
it
back.
One day. Yes.
Just not now.
Right.
Let's get that straight. All right. 27-10, the Bears go down. We'll be talking about it. Stay tuned because we're going to have a ton of stuff. I think Studs is on from 3 to 5 a.m. and then Dustin will be on from 5 to 5:30 and then it's Mully and Haw. And that starts your Bears Monday on The Score. Thanks again for listening. You're listening to The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.